took forever to get this bunker door open.
Yeah, this thing's been shut for a long time. Whoever was down here must have come down right after the nukes fell.
Yeah, and judging by the skeleton sitting in front of the radio over there, I'd say that guy who was down here's been dead for quite a while.
Oh, he's killed himself. His gun's right by his side, and there's a note on the desk in front of him.
What's it say? It says, couldn't get radio to tune into the Through the Aftermath podcast. My life just can't go on.
Guess he really wanted to hear it.
What channel is his radio on?
It's on Channel 5.
What channel is the podcast usually on?
Channel 6.
Wow, so close and yet so far.
Yeah, that's kind of embarrassing for him. He kind of gave up quick on that one.
Awkward.
Actually, it's about time for the show to start right now. We can use his radio to listen.
Turn it on, quick! Crap, I can't get the signal. There's nothing but static.
No! Oh no! We can't miss it!
I'm kidding. Man, you kind of seemed like your life just couldn't go on anymore.
I see what you did there, and I don't appreciate it.
Our next show, brought to you by the makers of Mr. Handy Robots. He cooks, he cleans, he walks the dog.
He's so handy!
And now, it's Through the Aftermath!
Welcome back, everyone, to the 17th episode of Through the Aftermath. I'm your host, Sean Schuster, and with me, once again, is my co-host, Jonathan. How are you doing, Jonathan?
I'm doing great! Yeah, just got back from a week-long camping trip with the fam, so yeah, good to be back in the world of electronics. Got to feel what it was like to live in the wasteland for a bit.
So yeah, I imagine camping in the desert is pretty much like Fallout 3.
Actually, yeah. Actually, I lucked out on this one. It was funny because I guess it got cooler here during the time I left, but where we went camping was way up north in like kind of the border between Colorado and Utah, which is this area called the city called Vernal, which is where my wife is from. And so we were up in the mountains camping, and it's funny because I guess I am climatized to desert because, holy cow, it was so cold. Like, so cold up there. I was like, I just wanted to return to the Capital Wasteland again.
Well, cool. This episode, we're going to talk a little bit about we kind of have another little fun topic here where we thought we'd get away from the seriousness of Jericho. And Jonathan actually found this article on Crispy Gamer, which I actually love, and it's the 50 things to do in the Capital Wasteland. Now, of course, this has to do with Fallout 3. Because we are fanatics, and it's a really cool list. It's like, you know, it just breaks it down to 50. It's kind of like the top 50, I guess you could say, you know, things to do in Fallout 3. When aside from doing quests, of course, and you know, progressing through the storyline, there are just these other things to do. And what's funny about this is that while I was reading this, and I don't know, Jonathan might have had the same experience, but while I was reading through this list, I was thinking, I wonder if they're going to mention this thing or this part that I really enjoyed. And of course, they didn't. So at the end of the list, when we're done, we're going to add our own. Jonathan and I,
yes,
we're both going to add our own little thing in there. So it should be pretty cool. It's just little paragraphs on each one, and should be pretty fun. Before we do that, we had a few little pieces of news this week. And, of course, Mothership Zeta, which we talked about last week on the Jericho Show, that actually released last week, or 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we, Jonathan and I didn't really get a chance to play this too much, and I actually didn't even get to download it yet. It's been so busy. So what we're probably going to do is talk about it in a future episode, maybe next time or the time after that. But Jonathan, you did get to at least download it, right? And you got to at least try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's an absolute ride. I mean, the way it plays into the whole story and where crashed alien craft that you've come across already in the past. You know, you get a little bit more information about what he was doing there.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's cool that they explain that.
Yeah, it's nice. It's kind of like a nice little palate clearer for even all of us who've played Fallout 1 and 2. Because I think it was Fallout 2 is where they had the crashed alien ship, and you could tell they had been playing off on that. And so it's almost like at last we get some storyline of why those aliens were even here back then.
That's cool. That's really cool. I mean, you know, it gives us a break from the desolate wasteland. And we've gotten that break before. You know, Anchorage, of course, gave us the snowy mountains, and then we have the swamp of Point Lookout, and the pit was kind of back to the wasteland thing, but more industrial, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool that they're breaking it up like that, and now they're adding aliens, so it's like a whole different thing. So it's like, even if you're into aliens, and you're not so much into any of the other, atmospheres of the other downloadable content, then you have this at least to play with. So I'm really looking forward to playing it more. And like I said, you know, we'll talk about it in a future episode once we get into it a lot more and beat it.
Yeah.
But I guess that on the tail of that, we could talk about an announcement that was made for Game of the Year edition for Fallout 3 and a DLC pack.
That's right. Yeah, we have the second Fallout pack, and we had one release about a month and a half ago for PlayStation 3 at this time. They're still kind of getting a shaft. They're still working on that one. But PC and Xbox got the first download content that had the Pit, and it also had Operation Anchorage. Well, the second retail pack, which features Broken Steel and Point Lookout, is going to hit the shelves on August 25th for the Xbox and the PC. And the last piece, the Mothership Zeta, I believe is actually, I don't think they're actually going to release it as a separate piece. I think you could buy it as such, but I think it's actually going to be following, which is on the Game of the Year edition, which is coming. Now it looks like we have an October 13th release date, and that includes PlayStation 3, Xbox, and PC for the Game of the Year edition. So if you haven't bought any of them, you might want to decide, you know, is it worth it to buy one or two, just the sets, or do you want to wait till October and play them all? And funny enough, as sick as I am, I'm probably going to end up picking it up on my PS3 as well, because I love my PS3. So I'll probably end up playing it on that as well, for any other reason, just to play it on a big screen, so...
See, you're the reason why all these console companies make so much money.
It's true. It's me buying every one of them. It's really sad. But it's now that's funny. Actually, it brings up a good point. Speaking of sad, that was actually another reason why this episode is sort of the 50 fun things to do in the Capital Wasteland, because, you know, Mothership Zeta really does look like it appears to be the last of the download content. So this is kind of our way of kind of looking back and going, hey, we came full circle. It looks like that's it. Of course, you never know if they got an expansion pack down the line. But, it was kind of our way of, you know, bowing our hat to this content that had been coming out and looks like it's finally over. So
I don't know. I'm still holding out. I'm still in denial.
So am I.
I mean, I hope they release more. But, you know, if they say that this is it, then I guess we got to believe them for a little while.
Plus, there's Fallout Vegas next year, so that's all.
Yes, yeah. Very cool. Let's see. In other news, we had there's a new game called Rage that has been announced, and they're talking about it a little bit. And the reason this is so important is because it comes from John Carmack, who is he really hasn't done anything since Doom 3. He was a creator of Doom 3, and this is his new project, and it's called Rage. And it's so far we don't really know too much about it. What we do know is there are some screenshots which look absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it's really amazing, and I say that all the time when I see new screenshots, but they keep outdoing the next, you know, the previous one.
It's true.
So I'm going to put a link to this. It's a post-apocalyptic game. Not, like I said, not much is really known about it, but there are some great screenshots. A lot of them are that typical deserty kind of scenery. You know, it's got some great sky and clouds and everything, and some great like cliffs and just it's really. It's very Western, you know, very Western U.S., in the desert and the mountains and everything. But there's also a few screenshots of characters in it and kind of a megaton-looking city with, scrap. The whole thing is made out of scraps and everything, and you have a character standing there, and he's got, like, you know, scrapped-together armor and everything. So it's kind of cool. again, I have no idea what any of this even means at this point.
The QuakeCon people should be hearing about it. I'm curious to see what kind of news comes pouring out of QuakeCon. They're supposed to be getting a glimpse.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, QuakeCon's actually going on right now. So maybe by next episode, we should have something more on this we could talk about.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see too, because we live in an interesting time now. Because as everybody who grew up in the 80s and 90s knows, Carmack was the front runner of a lot of the 3D graphics. He was always the guy pioneering the new stuff. And it's interesting now because we've got some game companies out there like Crytek, for example, who have engines that are very, very pretty dang close to things that that Carmack's ever made. And it's kind of neat to see Carmack back in the game. I guess he did the mobile games for a while there, but he's, back in the game, and it'll be interesting to see he's probably thought of something to take it to the next step. So, mm-hmm. And post-apocalyptic, no doubt. So,
yeah, that's right up our alley.
Perfect.
We also, I just noticed we have a comment on our Twitter, a direct message from, I guess it's pronounced JMO, and he says that there's a huge article on Rage in this month's Game Informer. He says it may actually be the cover story. So you could definitely check that out if you want to find out a little bit more information.
Yes.
And let's see, our next little bit, we have we have a couple more bits of news here. One of them, this is a pretty big one. Fallen Earth. It was actually just announced today. Fallen Earth will be entering its open beta on Monday, on August 17th. So that is cool because it means we're getting closer to an NDA lift. And I'll just leave it at that, I guess. We don't want to get in trouble. But once an NDA lift comes out, then certain websites and people who may be in the beta can talk about it. I don't know who those would be, of course.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But it's cool with the open beta because now people can get in a lot easier. On Monday, they'll be able to get in a lot easier. And then they can experience this if they weren't able to get in either through the closed beta or the closed / open beta over at FilePlanet that's been going on, a stress test. That's pretty big news for us because it means we're one step closer to getting this game launched.
Nice. Yeah. And that, yeah, we're getting, we're down to we're less than a month now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, they have a countdown on the website and
that's
27 days. Yeah. So that's, it's going to be pretty cool. That whole week is going to be just insane. It's going to be like there are a lot of games releasing that week. Not only MMOs, not only post-apocalyptic, but all kinds, the Beatles Rock Band and
that's right.
There's, like DDO, there's just a whole bunch of stuff that would probably bore our listeners. So, but it's going to be a big week. It's going to be actually the whole month is going to be really big for games. So
yeah,
I really look forward to it.
Big Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
Heavens. Oh.
And the last thing I want to talk about for our news here is the forums. Now the forums, if you are a regular to the forums, you might be a little frustrated by now because they've been down for about a month now, it seems like. The problem is, okay, first of all, there was a problem with the database, and I think I explained this on a previous show. I backed up the forums through a different method than I was supposed to. I did it through my control panel on the host, and that made it so that I couldn't revert back to it if there was a problem. And I don't know why I did that. So then once I did that, I actually that only updated it to a certain point. And then I had to continue to the next point. I hope this isn't boring anyone. I had to continue to the next point updating it in the forums itself, in the admin panel of the forums themselves. So basically what it did, when I did the second upgrade, it wrote over and it prevented me from going back to a previous saved version of the forums, because I used two different methods to upgrade, and that was a complete noob thing for me to do. I'm not any kind of expert on this kind of stuff, so that was a mistake on my part. So basically what happened was now it's saying that I need to upgrade. Well, I can't upgrade because it's not allowing me to upgrade, so I'm kind of stuck in this loop where it's telling me to upgrade, but it won't let me upgrade. And when I tried fixing it a couple weeks ago, I actually deleted everything, and then I copied a new version over, but then I restored the database file, and that screwed everything up big time, where it was in a continuous loop of trying to upgrade itself, and it wouldn't show up at all. So it was down, but I actually got it back to the original point where at least the forums show up now. You can't – it's kind of a weird situation where you can't post if you're signed in. You can't read posts or anything if you're signed in, but if you sign out, you can actually read posts. It's really weird. You can't post, but you can read posts. So it's a really weird situation. I've been trying to fix it. I've been talking to a few people. Actually, one of them is a listener in the show and a supporter of the show. He and I have been talking back and forth trying to get it worked out, and he's enlisting some friends of his to try to get it. It's a big process. We're really trying to work it out. But in the end, the reason I'm telling you all this is because we might have to just, you know, say we're going to start over with that, with the forum. And I would hate to do that because, you know, the forum's only been around for a couple months, but we have some great stuff on there, you know, some great recommendations, some great, you know, a lot of stuff. And I would hate to get rid of all that stuff and start from scratch. What I want to know is what the listeners feel. You know, do you think I should just go ahead and start from scratch? You think I should just, you know, forget the forums, or you think I should just keep it like it is until I can possibly find out a solution? And if any of you out there are experts in this field, definitely contact me, because I am not. I'm far from it. That's that. I just wanted to get that out of the way really quickly, because I know I've gotten a lot of emails where people are like, hey, do you know that your forums don't work? When are the forums coming back and things like that? I know it's a big part of the whole podcast and the community. So I want to get it. I would ideally like to get it fixed, but it's funny. We got some comments in our Twitter where people are like, you know, we'll just consider it the apocalypse for the forums, and we'll rebuild. It's okay.
We'll rebuild. Oh, that's good.
That's basically where that stands right now. So, just let me know what you think, you know. Shoot me an email or I guess you can't leave a message on the forums, but just let me know what you think, because I want to get this fixed, but you know, we'll see what the options are, I guess.
Yeah, and even though that's it for the news, I actually had a funny story that I had to share. And you know, those of you who out there who know me from, you know, from this show and other shows, you know that I my brain is constantly coming up with like new ridiculous material for skits and sometimes for songs. And in fact, you know, at work, my buddy Rob, which somebody out there is like, ding, it's a thing where he and I sometimes will come up for alternate lyrics for songs. We'll hear a song on the radio and then the funny alternate lyrics for something you're doing, come into play, whenever we're doing the long road trips. And funny enough, I just happened to be driving down the road one day and Metallica's Wherever I May Roam came on. And, lo and behold, this song began to write itself, and I just thought, you know, it was just a few lines, but I thought I would share it with you just because it was too priceless, just because literally as I was – it's one of those things where you hear the guy say the lyric and you're like, you know what the lyrics are, but part of you is like, did he just say this? And you just kind of roll with it. So, I guess I'll just go ahead and sing the first part. Now, you know that song really well too, don't you, Sean?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Actually, I used to play that song in a band I was in high school.
Oh, see, that's perfect. That's perfect. And everybody out there, you know, who grew up like same timeline as us, you guys all grew up listening to this too. But it was pretty funny because everybody knows that the first line of the song is, "And the road becomes my bride." And all of a sudden, I was sitting there, this is how it began. I was sitting there driving down the road, and all of a sudden, the first thing I thought was, "And the road just made me cry." You know, like the book, The Road. Of a sudden I just started going with it, and it suddenly became like, I was sitting there jamming, and it was like, "And the road just made me cry. Just wanted to grab my son and hide. To my wife I did confide, and she told me stop acting five." You know, and it just kind of like went from there. And, I was a terrible singer just then because I was trying not to make feedback on the microphone. But it was so funny because I'm just sitting there like making these lyrics up, and I'm like, this song is writing itself. I mean, seriously, like, "And the road just made me cry." You know, and of course, anybody who told their wife, you know, "I want to grab my son and hide, and to my wife I did confide, and she told me stop acting five," you know, and it's like, yeah, we've all been there.
So you could be like the post-apocalyptic Weird Al.
Literally, yeah. It would be like a mutated Al, which you get. I leave it up to you to decide what that would look like. But,
oh.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he looks like Jude Law. Hey, how's it going? But it would be awesome to hang with, I'm sure. Irradiated Al.
Wow.
But it was too priceless not to share it with everybody. So, you know, anybody with alternate lyric songs, you know, feel free to bring that to record and send them to us. And perhaps we can play them online sometime, you know.
Oh, no. That's just opened up the floodgate.
Oh, the
right
floodgate.
There.
Uh-oh. Yeah, this is not like a post-apocalyptic American Idol, though. So. But I figured that'd be a good laugh for the day before the big laughs that we're about to do. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into that list and continue with the laughs. So I'll start this out, and like I said, what this is just basically, you know, like the top things to do in the Capital Wasteland besides what you're supposed to do. And some of these are really hilarious. Some of them are kind of, you know, oh yeah, whatever.
Yeah, obvious.
And, yeah, it's pretty obvious. Some of them are things that you, like, I didn't know that you could even do some of these things, but,
yes.
And some of them are like, yeah, I remember that.
There's
that's a lot of fun.
There's some gems in here. Especially when we get to number one, that, let's just say there's some tidbits in here that are, kudos to these, like, the guys who, you know, wrote this game, you know, Emil Pigliarulo and everybody else, you know, they won Game of the Year over and over and over. And a lot of people don't understand the hype. They go, what is this? We don't, you know, why is it such a big deal? Well, this is going to kind of fill in a little bit of that. And some of the things you're going to hear about goes to show just how deep some of the hidden stuff is. And some of the stuff is obvious, but some of the stuff I guarantee you will never have realized till you hear this. So this will make you want to go play.
Yeah, it really showcases the fact that they didn't just make a game where you can sit down and play straight through, that they made, like, they must have had these great conference meetings where they got together and said, hey, can we add this to the game just somewhere out in the middle of nowhere? And, you know, if people find it, great. And, you know, they had these little things like that, and it probably took them hours and hours to get set up and animated and, you know, and dialogued and everything. And probably 1% of the players found it, you know what I mean? And I
right.
think that's hilarious. So this kind of showcases that kind of stuff, and I think that's perfect. So that's why we're reading it. So this first one, it says Stomp a Bug. It says, rad roaches are nothing but pests, and by the time you've spent 30 levels in the wasteland, they're also a waste of ammo. Next time you bump into a nest of the buggers, go unarmed and kick their butts via vats. Watching your character crush the filthy things is way more satisfying than it ought to be. Cleaning your boots after you've had your fun, not so much. And then they have a little thing where it says where you can do this. It says you can do it all over the Capital Wasteland. If you want to be cruel, you can kill Fluffy and Jitters in the abandoned shack. See that right there? That's like one of those little things. Fluffy and Jitters. If you can find them. But I think that's kind of funny because it's like, it's basically saying, you know, think of creative ways to kill bugs instead of just shooting them with your gun.
Yeah, the next one says, kill the Overseer. And I'm curious to how many of you probably already did this. It says, the Grand Poobah of Vault 101 isn't exactly a nice guy. He's a bit of a beep to you and your dad. And what he does to Jonas after dad makes tracks is unforgivable. The guy's your best friend Amada's father. But to hell with that, he's an evil jerk who needs to die. Before you leave Vault 101, be sure to put a bullet in the guy's brain. And, yeah, and I think some of us have done that. Now, one funnier, and I think we may have mentioned this earlier, the other thing you can do when Amada gives you the gun is tell her to keep it and stand back and watch, and she'll shoot her father herself. So that's an interesting play out on the story. You can walk away without her hating you. Which is near impossible. So that's something I think that's a little bit more obvious. I think we've all wanted to take pot shots at them and may have. So there you go.
Yeah. I'll have to try that. I think when I did it, I just kind of did the escape route and I didn't really mess with them too much. That's cool. All right. So this next one says play hide and seek. There are tons of kids in the Capital Wasteland, but none are as fun to hang out with as Kenny from Point Lookout. Get on his good side, and he'll play a game with you. Tag is fun, but if you've got a stealth boy handy, try cheating at hide-and-seek. Maybe that's why people think the old mines are haunted. This is this is in Herzen Mine in Point Lookout. Have you done this at all?
You know, I haven't. I just barely touched the Point Lookout just a bit, and it's funny because I can already tell the humor that's already in that add-on just from that. I wonder if – I'll ask Rob if he did that, because he was one of the ones who pointed me to this article, and I'm sure that he was immediately loading up a save game trying this. That's, yeah. That's priceless. All right, the next one says, loot the naughty underwear. The wasteland is crawling with pink sexy sleepwear, but there's only one place to grab this leopard print negligee. Follow the Nuka-Cola Challenge side quest, Grady's Package, and you'll find these unmentionables stashed away for safekeeping. You'll also meet Lugnut, a dude who covets these skivvies even more than you, and his threatening lines may be some of the funniest in Fallout 3. And just to give a little, they also give a little pointer of where this takes place, and it says Marigold Metro Station. So now this is funny because I have not seen this yet.
Really? So, yeah, I did this quest, but the funny thing is I killed Lugnut, so I couldn't give it to him. And I, for some reason, I thought maybe I could give him to someone else later. And so I kept the naughty nightwear, and I think I still have him in my inventory. But I don't wear them, I swear. No. But I always thought maybe if someone, you know, like there was someone else in the game that would use them. So I kind of kept them. I do that with a lot of things. But yeah, I need to try this again for real, like without killing Lugnut.
You know, it almost makes me wonder if I have seen this, because I may have inadvertently stumbled into it, because I remember doing one other quest and finding like this note saying that blah, blah, blah was stashed in locker, blah, 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 or something.
Yeah.
And ended up stumbling into something that sounds familiar to this. But maybe I ended up like finding the package before I was meant to. Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's exactly what I did. And then I didn't realize, I think I found it and then I killed him and then I didn't know that they were connected. I was like, oh. All right. So this next one, it says, be a samurai. Many play Fallout 3 with an eye on firearms, but putting points in your melee skills can be rewarding. There are tons of killer blunt instruments around the wasteland, but things don't get really fun until your weapon and skills cause enough damage to cut down your enemies in a single slash. Try equipping a blade like the Chinese officer sword or Jingwei's shock sword for close quarters kills in vats. Pair the player crafted shish kebab with the pyromaniac perk for the most damage. And it says you can do this all over the wasteland, and Operation Anchorage is actually where you get the shock sword and the Chinese officer sword. Now, I have to say, when I read this, I was like, well, of course. I mean, that's what I do. For a long time, when I first got the Chinese officer sword and Jingwei's shock sword, actually mostly the shock sword, I went around killing things like that. And it's really fun when you have the Chinese stealth armor, because then you can sneak up on people and you can hack at them. And I think I talked about this on a previous episode, actually. You hack at them and they still don't know where you're at if you have high enough stealth. And they're like, hello, like when you do the super mutants, they're like, hello, who's there? And you're sitting there hacking at them, and they don't know where it's coming from. And so I use that shock sword, actually, is really cool. Have you played with that at all?
You know, I haven't really, but it brings up another good point. I mean, this is another example of how deep this game goes, because I've played the game, you know, I've played a character about three different times, and, you know, played a big chunk of the game with each one. And it just goes to show that you sometimes think, okay, I've probably seen it all. But there are things that you can do in the game that you realize, oh my gosh, if I did it like this, that'd be a whole different game. Like, I was all about the explosives and the guns. And now I'm like, wait, melee? Wait a minute. It's almost like a whole different ball game now.
Yeah. Well, I remember, like, before the game came out, they had all those little trailers that they were showing, and they showed that one for the power glove. What was that thing called?
Right.
But they were showing the trailer for that, and the guy was like slow motion punching in vats and like knocking people's heads off, and I was like, that is so cool.
Yeah, the mnemonic fist thing where he was just like, whoa, bam! Yeah, that thing is a hoot.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a good tip, because I think the melee, you know, you would think a game like this, they would put so much energy into the firearms and the, you know, the explosions and stuff like that, but they really put a lot into the melee.
They did. They did, and I need to go back and check it out. The next one says, cosplay as Mad Max. You can't drive cars in Fallout 3, but you can dress up like everybody's favorite road warrior. Simply don the leather armor and accessorize the outfit with a medical brace. For weaponry, grab a sawed-off shotgun or the scoped 44, which is the same gun wielded by Lord Humongous in the Road Warrior, which is already, I'm already laughing when I read this, because I can just see him loading that gun going, leave the oil, just walk away. There's a skit there where he could just be like, leave Duke Nukem forever, just walk away, please.
I was hoping you'd do that voice. Yeah, that's a pretty cool, because they added those things in there, and it's really funny to think about the detail, even down to the medical brace, you know, that he had after right. he got shot, and you could do that. You could just set up. I mean, even with dog meat, you know, they didn't mention dog meat here, but dog meat's a lot like that dog he had in Road Warrior.
Actually, dog meat is because of Road Warrior. If you remember, like in Fallout 3, he mentions like there was a guy here with a leather jacket driving a car, yelling about blah blah blah, and he got killed. And you're like, oh, so yeah, you're exactly right. This dog meat is right on cue.
Yeah, so I don't know why they should have mentioned that in there, but I'm sure there's actually more stuff in there too. There's probably, let's see, there's. Is there? Well, I mean, like we can't drive an interceptor, but there are a few other things in there that I'm sure pay homage.
Oh, yeah.
to Mad Max.
I'm sure. Yeah. In fact, one in particular, and this is just off the side. If you remember, when you go to Little Lamplight, before you can get in, there's that little kid on the top of the little entry gate, and he's got the little safari hat. And if you remember, he looks just like the kid who's like, "Anybody moves, and you're dead meat." And I'm like, "Oh, yes." Perfect.
Yeah, the chopper pilots.
The little kid who was with the chopper pilot, which I oftentimes wonder if that's the little feral kid changed. But I'll leave that up to theory. But
all right, this next one says nuke it from orbit. Megaton isn't the only town players can reduce to a smoking crater. Follow the Broken Steel questline and eventually find yourself at a panel that controls a satellite missile system with targeting data for Rivet City, Project Purity, Megaton, and the Citadel. We won't tell you what happens when you flip a switch, just don't forget to get out of Dodge when you opt to destroy the Adams Air Force Base platform, because that's where you're standing. And this is in the mobile base crawler in Broken Steel. Did you do this one?
You know, I haven't finished Broken Steel yet, but this smirk crossed my face, and I had this momentary flashback of Command & Conquer 1, and I'm like, oh, a reason to finish quickly.
You know, I actually did do this, and I saved my game before this because I thought I have to try every one of these, you know, because of course in the story you're supposed to blow up Adams Air Force Base is where you're at, and then you're supposed to run and escape. And I never did actually go back. I guess I forgot. But I need to do that because I want to see what happens when you blow up the other. Because they give you all the options. They're like, you know, Rivet City, Project Purity, Megaton. I want to blow up Rivet City. That's the one I want to blow up.
Oh, yeah.
but it'd be cool to do that. And that's a pretty cool cool little tip there. What this reminded me of is in Wasteland, when you find the howitzer, the howitzer shell, and you can blow out the side of
the wall.
I forgot. Yeah, and there's like a little restaurant there, and the girl asks if you want fries with that. And when you use the howitzer and you blow, actually you can point the howitzer at different locations, which is what reminded me of that. And what happens is in Wasteland, it'll actually change the terrain. It'll blow a hole in the side of a building or something like that, and it'll be there for the rest of the game. You know, it's in your save game.
Right.
So I wonder if this is kind of like an homage to that, where you have these choices to destroy something, but you can't go back to it. So I think that's kind of cool.
That is a riot. I can't wait to do that. And it's going to be Rivet City. Okay, the next one says, open a man with the man opener. It says, visit the pit and you'll find the auto axe all over the place. But the only named version of the weapon ignores damage resistance, making it particularly useful against up-armored enemies. The man opener can be found on a bed in the supply plant building accessible by the pit steelyard. While you're out there, collect 10 steel ingots and give them to Everett in the mill, and you'll earn Auto Expert, a perk that ups your damage with the man opener by 25%. And that was interesting. I never picked up that there was a named one. And I think it was because you see them so much that you, and I'm assuming they intended that. They knew you would look the other way. Speaking of hidden Easter eggs. So, it almost makes me want to run back to the pit now and, go take it back.
Yeah, I didn't do this one either. For that exact same reason. I remember when the pit was first advertised and I saw that little chainsaw looking, or you know, the little blade looking thing, and I was like, wow, I can't wait to get one of those. And then they're everywhere. Like everyone had one, and it was kind of like, okay, you know, they kind of lost their novelty now, but it's cool that like you said, they probably did that for a reason, just to kind of make you overlook that named one. I got to check that out. That'd be cool.
That sounds like a riot.
All right, this next one says Mez Someone. The Mesmatron is a nifty, non-lethal weapon that transforms human targets into babbling idiots. Once dazed, you can kill them, talk to them, or slap a collar on them and sell them into slavery. Get the Mesmatron by starting the Strictly Business quest with Grouse. And Grouse, of course, is in Paradise Falls. And have you done this?
The Mesmatron?
Yeah.
You know, I never messed with it. Like, it was one of those things, kind of like what you were saying about, you know, targeting different areas. Like, it was there in my mind. I knew that I could do it. But funny enough, I never messed with it. And it's the good thing is, it's still, you know, I threw it in my my closet in Tenpenny. I almost said Pentenny. Okay. That was ridiculous. The radiation is making me schizophrenic there. So I could always go back and try this again. So I mean, I've got to try it.
I did try it. I've played both sides of Paradise Falls, where I saved the slaves and then I helped the slavers. And the Mesmatron, it took me a while to figure it out. I remember going to Rivet City and I had to get what's that guy's name? I think it's like Shrapnel or something, I think is his name. And I had to get him, and I remember sitting there, I equipped the Mesmatron, and I couldn't get the collar on him. I forgot how I did it, there was a trick to it, but I did mez him, and he stands there and he kind of waves his head around in like a kind of a cliche, you know, like a movie, you know, when you're dazed in a movie or in a game or something like that. He kind of does that, and he's like, who are you, where am I? And but then it wears off in a second. And what's cool about this too is that you can, if you run out of your Mesmatron power cells, you can actually go back to Grouse in Paradise Falls and tell him that you ran out, and he'll give you some more. So it's like an unlimited ammo kind of thing. And what's fun about it is it actually does aggro people if you use it on the wrong person. Like, there's a quest where you have to use it on certain people, like Susan Lancaster in Tenpenny Tower and a couple others. But if you use it on the wrong person, like say a guard or something, everybody will go nuts, and it's almost like as if you attacked them. So you have to be a little careful with it. But it is pretty fun to play with.
I'll have to try that. The next one, and this one is one I'm actually a complete freak for. I love this about the Bethesda-style open-ended games. It says, decorate your apartment. There are tons of little bits of functionality in Fallout 3 that are easy to miss. Don't spend time in the wasteland without learning to click your right analog stick. That's the way to pick stuff up and move it around in the game world. Now, the PC gamers, you know, that's different. But now, drop anything from your inventory, grab it and put it on that bare shelf in your apartment. If you have the extra caps, you can pay Moira to do some interior decorating, but that's boring. Now it's not Moira. I think Moira is the only one is if you live in Megaton. If you live in Tenpenny, you go down to the little store down on the first floor and she takes care of it. And this is funny because in Oblivion, I remember spending ridiculous amounts of time like decorating the house. And I know you guys are like laugh because I say my buddy Rob, like Jimmy Olsen, Superman's pal, like 400 times. But Rob, one time, he pulled me inside. He goes, dude, you got to see what my apartment in Tenpenny looks like. And so I went and checked it out, and he had done the wasteland theme, like the explorer theme. And so, but he had taken it where he had like his folded up vault jumpsuit was folded up on the foot of his bed. He had the gun, the BB gun next to the top of his bed, in case he needed to grab it. He had, the place just decorated. He has a little garden gnome next to the bed, and he had everything done up, like, super fancy. And it kind of took me to school because, you know, I'm somebody who fancies myself, like, I love to decorate, and to decorate the rooms in this. And he had done it in a way that I hadn't even thought of, like, right down to having, like, you know, some of the old pre-war money on the nightstand in case, you know, he needed to go buy something. It was just perfect. And so, if you guys haven't tried that, you know, that's definitely something to run with, especially with the themes. They're an absolute blast.
I only tried the Raider theme with, like, bodies hanging by chains everywhere. That's pretty messed up.
That was messed up. Yeah, the Lover's theme is actually a hoot. If when you see that, you're just going to start dying.
All right, let's see. The next one says, pick a fight with Fox. Of the many companions you may cross paths with in Fallout 3, Fox is the burliest. The easiest way to kill Fox is to exterminate him in his Vault 87 cell, but that's rather unsporting. Meet up with Fox later and put a couple rounds into his super thick hide. Can you take the big doofus down? And of course, this is in Raven Rock and the Underworld, but he is in Vault 87. I love Fox. I had to get rid of him, though, because I like being stealthy, and he likes shooting everything, so I had to get rid of him.
Yeah, it's funny. I think I took him with me near the end of the game, and I was, of course, one of those who was like, well, now why can't he go into the radiated room? He's fine. But, you know, that was before we knew we could, you know, before, you know, there was not an ending, so.
Yeah.
All right, the next one says, make a rad run. Is that there are more than a couple places in the Capital Wasteland that have been rendered impassable by radiation. Most notable is Vault 87. If you were a jerk and killed Fox rather than set him free, you're going to have to throw on an advanced radiation suit or chew some Rad-X to get what you came for. Elsewhere, there's tons of great loot hidden where the Geiger counter gets noise. Poke around. That's interesting, because I found one or two places, but there must be more. And, well, duh, I guess there is more. So that's another place where I'm going to have to, you know, hopefully grab that perk that unlocks every area on the map just to see what I can find.
Yeah, yeah. All right, this next one says, listen to Vinny work blue. Earthlings don't take no mess, especially Vinny, the foul-mouthed abductee who tells his captors to go back to Uranus. Vinny can be heard by listening to Alien Captive Recording Log 2, and this is in the cryo lab in Mothership Zeta. And, of course, I have not encountered this yet because I haven't played. But
now we know.
Yeah, now we know. Now we know what to do when we get there.
The next one says, hack the right way. It says there's a right way and a wrong way to hack in Fallout 3. The wrong way is to make blind stabs at a password, then try to reason your next best guess from the number of letters you got right. Oh, that would be me. The right way is to first narrow your options, move the cursor through the garbled text looking for open parentheses, brackets, and carrots. If there's a matching closer to the right of them, you can highlight the whole area and select to remove only one of the dummy passwords or reset your number of guesses. That is really wild. I had no idea.
Really? You didn't know that?
Yeah, and it's funny because, well, and a lot of it's because, you know, and it just goes to show the way that people play is I am the blind stabber because, you know, I'm like, come on, go, go, go. You're like, you could, like, you mentioned that your gameplay style is very stealthy and you use melee weapons, and yet you knew that, and yet compare it to me who goes in guns blazing, grenades throwing, and I just want to get to hack the door as fast as I can so I can go blow more stuff up. And it's almost like a psychological test that I probably just failed.
Yeah, actually, well, I read up on that, I read up on how to, I guess it's not really cheating, but I read it like on a wiki or something about how to hack. And I actually got, I put a lot of points into hack, my computer, my science skill. So it's to the point now where, when I hack a computer, it gives me like three options or, you know, three or four options. And you, of course, you only get four chances to guess. So I will guess three of them, and then it'll say, you know, you have one more chance. And of course, it's usually that, you know, the last one left. But you can also mouse, you can mouse over anything with brackets or carrots or anything like that. And when you mouse over the right one of just, you know, jarbled text of a bunch of, you know, miscellaneous characters, if you go over the right bracket, it'll highlight that whole thing. And then you click on it. It'll highlight, you know, like the most of the line. It'll highlight, and you click on that, and that'll actually take away the bad, the words that aren't, you know, the dummy words that aren't the password. So you do that, and there's actually one of them that will reset your chances. So, you know, you get four chances, and you're down to one left. You go over all those brackets and carrots, and you'll find one that'll reset your chances back to four.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a really cool way of doing it. Actually, my girlfriend, I showed her that one time, and she was like, that's incredible. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
The holodeck inside the holodeck.
Yes. All right, this next one It says, check out the forks in Raven Rock. The designers of the Enclave base at Raven Rock built two fatal flaws into their fortress. Firstly, it's way too easy to self-destruct. And secondly, the metal gratings on the floor are a pain in the butt if you've got butterfingers. Squeeze into the crawl space beneath the Enclave mess hall on the way to meet President Richardson to see hundreds of forks, spoons, and knives that slipped through the cracks. And this is, of course, in Raven Rock. Did you get a chance to see
that? I didn't, which is funny because I was under the crawl spaces a lot because, you know, once I was trying to escape Raven Rock, you know, I was under there a lot, and I never noticed the forks and spoons. That's so funny.
Yeah, I remember going under there and seeing all the forks and thinking, like, I'm always kind of paranoid about what means something. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be like, why are these under here? What do I need them? Do I need to collect some? So I'd grab, like, five of them just in case I needed them for something later. But, of course, I didn't. But
okay, the next one says, trip out. There are tons of drugs in Fallout 3, but none of these illicit substance packs quite a kick as the Punga fruit spores. The hallucinations here rival the legendary mind frack at the end of Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty. This heavy scene is the reason enough to buy Point Lookout. And I think that's an absolute riot that Point Lookout would be the place where the hallucinogenic drugs are growing in the swamp. And I haven't tried this yet, but when they mentioned Metal Gear Solid 2, I just started dying. I was like, oh dear.
Oh man, the whole scene where you take that punga fruit, the spores, it's part of a quest. man, it is one of the trippiest things I've ever seen. I can't even explain it. Like, there's like a needle and thread, like a giant needle that goes into the ground and comes out, and it's like threading through in front of you. And then there's just crazy stuff going on in the air and like all around you. You're just basically hallucinating. But the things that they throw in there are just hilarious. Like, it really plays with you, and it's really a lot of fun. It's this to me. I mean, this is pretty close to the bottom here. This should be toward the top.
That is a riot. I can't believe. And again, you know, it goes to show, you know, there were the kind of like the work that went into some of these quests. I mean, they could have just blindly made quests like a lot of RPGs do. And it just goes to show that these guys were having a riot with this, and they intended to do so.
Yeah. All right. So for the next one. It says, fry some aliens. Now, this, again, is for Mothership Zeta, so we have not had a chance to do this. But it says, there's more than one way to skin an extraterrestrial. Futz with the controls for the pylons when enemies are nearby, and the blast of energy will send them reeling. You won't earn any XP for the kills, but you will gain deep satisfaction.
I'll have to remember
that. I can't
wait
to try that one.
Yes.
Yeah, it says it's in the hangar in Mothership Zeta.
The next one says, have a best friend. There are more than a couple opportunities to hire underlings to fight alongside you, depending on your deeds. Fox, Star Paladin Cross, Charon, Jericho, Sergeant RL3, Butch Deloria, and Clover will join you as a companion. But there's only one soul in the wasteland who will love you unconditionally, and that is Dogmeat the Blue Healer. No Mad Max costume would be complete without this canine sidekick. And that kind of goes back to what we were saying.
Yeah. And that's, of course, you can find dog meat in the scrapyard.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll leave it up to you to figure out what that means.
All right, so this next one says, fight for your life. The Mad Max references in Fallout 3 are many. Travel north to the ruins of Pittsburgh, and you'll find The Hole, an arena that pays homage to Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Survive all the fights here, and you'll earn the perk Pit Fighter, boosting your damage and radiation resistance by 3%. And this is in the hole in the pit. And if you play through the storyline of the pit, you will come across this. Like, you know, it's one of those things that you have to do.
Right.
But it's definitely fun. And that's actually one of those where when I encountered it, I was a little, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to survive this one. This one, it's getting kind of tough. Like, you know, because there are a few waves of enemies that in a few rounds you have to go. And they get tougher every time, but it's definitely a lot of fun.
Everybody with you is like, who run Bartertown? You're like, I do. It's me. Sorry, dude, I'm too high. That's just the way it is. The next one says, kill somebody in their sleep. If you're putting points into sneak, there you go, and going for stealth kills, be sure to grab the Mr. Sandman perk. You'll get the option to kill your prey before they wake and earn extra XP for the kill. Don't bother about worrying about how you'll look at yourself in the mirror in the morning. That's perfect. Yeah, and that kind of goes up there with the that perk that if you put a grenade in somebody's pocket, I think it's like psychotic trickster or something like that. That's that kind of piggybacks that one too. So that's another thing you can do for fun.
Yeah, I didn't do this on my main character, but I actually when I made a new character, I did this one, and it's kind of creepy. It's kind of it does it in slow motion and everything. And when you like, I did this in Tenpenny Tower, and I killed a bunch of the people while they were sleeping, and they kind of freak out. Like you sneak up to them and you cut their neck, and then they like flail around in their bed, and it just makes it all the more disturbing. It's freaky.
Well, and to piggyback that even more, it's funny because talking about putting the grenade in somebody's pocket. If you remember, there were those little right before Fallout 3 came out, there were those five videos they released of different areas. One showing Megaton. Well, one of them when you first go to Tenpenny shows. The leader of the ghouls talking to the guy at the gate, and that's when he puts the grenade in his pocket, and it didn't dawn on me till later. That's one of the quests later that you have to kill him to free Tenpenny. And I was like, well, wait a minute, so you can even stop it before it starts? I'll have to remember that and see how the story plays out that way, but anyway.
All right, this next one says, glitch your Pip-Boy. Kill one of the heavily armed Guardian drones and loot their powerful drone cannon. Check out the bottom left-hand corner of your Pip-Boy when you're equipping the weapon. Where there would normally be an image, you'll find the error that says Pip OS error 26 file not found. I wonder what that does. It says that this is in the robot assembly in the hangar in the waste disposal in Mothership Zeta. That explains why I never saw it.
That's funny. You got to love Windows poking fun at Windows there.
Exactly.
The next one says, hurl junk. The capital wasteland is strewn with the detritus. I hope I said that right. The detritus of civilization. Their Brotherhood of Steel combs the ruins for the last remnants of technology buried in the rubble. That's a fine, lofty goal. Our interests are baser. Craft yourself with the rocket launcher, load it full of junk, and make an even bigger mess. Bonus points for killing an enemy with their friend's limbs. Oh my god. I never tried that. Okay, there it is.
Me neither.
Try that next. And that is doable all over the wasteland, so have fun.
I actually crafted one of these, but I just so that I could say I did it, but I never tried launching a limb. I'll have to try that.
Priceless.
All right, the next one says, visit your local library. There isn't much left to read in the Capital Wasteland. That's why Brotherhood Scribe Yearling will give you 100 caps for every unspoiled pre-war book you scrounge. Snoop the houses in Minefield for the biggest concentration of mint-condition books. I started doing that quest. I would save them because I thought that they might be something special, and then I would sell them, like to Moria and everything. Mm-hmm. And then once I found this Scribe Yearling, I said, oh, okay. So I started saving them in my inventory just to get the money for them. But that's a good little point. It's almost like you can farm for these unspoiled books in Minefield.
Yes. I
have to remember.
Yeah, Minefield. I have many, many fond memories of that ridiculous place. The next one says, walk amongst the ghouls. Now, this is interesting. This is another one I didn't know. Negotiate peace between Roy Phillips and the denizens of Tenpenny Tower. I love how the Tenpenny Tower people are the denizens. And you'll be rewarded with the ghoul mask, a patchwork of flesh that will prevent feral ghouls from attacking you. With this ugly thing on your mug, you can explore the many subway tunnels completely unmolested. And I had no idea you could do that. I have to – it's funny because I think where I'm at in the story, I had actually bypassed Roy Phillips altogether when I played it this time. And I still may have an opportunity to try this, so I'll have to report back later.
You definitely have to. I play being kind of the stealthy player I play, this mask is detrimental to me because it's one of those things where – it's so much easier just to throw on the mask. And what's funny is the ghouls actually turn green on your radar. Like, usually they're red on your little radar map thing. They actually turn green, so then they're friendly. And you can just run right by them, and they don't do anything. And what's scary is Roy Phillips, when he gives you the mask, he says, don't get too close to them, or they might be able to sniff you out. They might be able to realize that you're actually not a ghoul.
Right.
And so when I played with the mask and I wore it, I was always afraid of getting too close to them. And, those ghouls freak me out. I think I mentioned this before. When you sit there and you hear them running – and the little pitter patter of their ghouly feet, you know,
yes.
That always freaks me out. So it's so weird when you sit there and they run up next to you, and you know you have the mask on, and it's almost like they're sniffing around for you, and you're like, and you know, I always get this shiver down my spine when that happens, but it's a lot of fun.
Priceless.
All right, the next one says, go to the Valley of the Dolls. Radiation makes survivors do strange things, even when they're removed from the most potent parts of the wasteland. Deep in the swamps of Point Lookout, you'll find a little enclave of mutant hicks who like to decorate with female dolls hung and impaled in effigy. This might give you some ideas for gussying up your own joint. It says this is the location of this is slightly north of the sacred bog entrance in Point Lookout. Have you seen this at all?
No, I haven't. Oh, man. I'm already laughing, though, because I'm like, I see where this is going.
It is pretty creepy. It's just basically like stakes with, like, you know, like it says, female dolls impaled on them. And it's, actually, I didn't know it was just in one point. I seemed like I saw them in a lot more places than that. But, yeah, it's kind of creepy.
The dolls have eyes. The next one says, avenge the enslaved. The problem with playing neutral or good is that you don't get to indulge in free-spirited murder whenever the whim strikes. Unless you're the slaver enclave paradise in Paradise Falls, that is. Suddenly eradicating an entire town is something that will enhance your karma rather than demolish it. Saunter into this burg, flick a bick in front of your flamethrower, and dream away in the sleep of the just. And it's funny he says that because that is precisely what I did. I went in, I was like so livid about the whole kids being kidnapped thing that I didn't even like stop at the gate. Hey, what do you think? Bam. I mean, it wasn't even, he didn't have a chance to talk. Like as he started to walk towards me to where it would do the dialogue, I'd already blown his face off and I was just going through the gate and it was just over within minutes. And I just like,
Yeah, I like I said before, I played both sides of that, where I was a slaver, and I got Clover on my side as a companion, and then I played the other side of that, where I actually helped the slaves, and I went through and killed. And I found that the killing, it wasn't that hard. At first I thought it would be hard, because there's a few guys with miniguns in there, and then there's a couple guys with, like, some really heavy metal armor, and you know, if you have the right stuff and a nice Chinese stealth outfit, you're pretty good. All right, this next one says, observe the gnome/teddy bear war. Bethesda's developers have a few notable ticks, one of which is positioning gnome statues in odd places. The most notable is deep in the Broken Steel expansion, where you might come across a couple of gnomes tied to the metro tracks, with a nearby teddy bear ready to capture the imminent carnage on an old-fashioned camera. That is... Wow, someone was bored. This is in the presidential metro in Broken Steel.
Oh, that is priceless. Yeah, and that's it's funny. When we get done talking about these, it's going to lead up to something that's going to be sort of my point and my whole look at this kind of thing. But I love that stuff. Love it.
Yeah, me too.
The next one says, become a Lincoln Scholar. Who says you can't learn anything in the wasteland? The head of state quest will send you to DC's largest history museum in search of a picture of the Lincoln Memorial, but there are many Lincoln artifacts to be found. Selling these unique items can earn caps in favor, but they look good propped up on your bookshelves too. And Lincoln's stovepipe hat remains the sharpest headwear in the game. And most of this is, of course, in the Museum of American History, which is an absolute riot.
Yeah, it's funny. If you don't know about, you know, the natural history, the American history of Lincoln and everything, like even Jefferson, you know, this game actually teaches you this kind of stuff. It's kind of cool. Let's see. On to our next one. It says, give mercy to a raider and then take it away. Oh, that sounds like fun. While wandering through the dense corridors of an alien ship, you'll have more than a few opportunities to awaken some of the other humans taken captive by the little spacemen. Some of them aren't too friendly, and when a thawing raider starts running around shouting about murder, you might decide to put him back to sleep permanently. And this is in the corridors of Mothership Zeta, which, again, I haven't had a chance to do, but it's a good thing this is in a list, because so I don't have to make my own list.
That's right. Okay, this next one, slight spoiler here for those of you who haven't been to Oasis, but so, you know, jump ahead about a minute and a half, you probably have it, but anyways, this one says, save a tree. There isn't a lot of lush greenery in the wasteland, so when you do find the one legitimate oasis and have to think about the fate of the giant tree within, give it some thought. Sure, the tree wants to die, but there's greater greenery of the surrounding land to think about. You don't want to feel guilty every time Arbor Day rolls around, do you? Now, I have to ask you this. Did you do Oasis?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I put him out of his misery.
Did you go down into the cave and like kill his heart? Is that what you did? Okay. Yep. If you want, this is so funny because I went back and actually reloaded a save game after I had done that. Because one of the things he says is, well, can I just burn you down? And he's like, no, I don't want to be burned down because then I'll hurt. Okay. If you want to have nightmares for a long time, burn him with the flamethrower. Because I will tell you what, somebody knew what they were doing when they knew you were going to do that. Because those screams of agony, I swear they will haunt me in my sleep because they even added like an echoing reverb to them. And so you're just like, you watch this guy like writhe in pain and then he even like dies weird. And so somebody obviously went the extra step to make sure you felt bad for it. But yeah, that's so there's an alternate to the save a tree for you. So
wow. That's crazy. Yeah. You know, I just want to say also, I guess we should have mentioned this earlier, but I think a lot of these are spoilers.
Yeah, a lot of these. Quite a bit of these are.
All right, this next one says, drink from an electric toilet. This is such a weird and ingenious trap that a little highlight is deserved. The thing about the Wasteland is that it drives folks to do weird things, like drink from toilets. Occasionally you'll run into a bowl that has a car battery perched above it, and drinking will produce a nasty shock. Disarming the trap is a simple matter and drops an energy cell into your inventory, but setting it off at least once is essential. And this is in various bathrooms throughout the Wasteland.
Haven't tried that yet.
Yeah, I haven't tried this either. I actually didn't know that because I never drink out of the toilet because my parents taught me not to do that.
That's true. Well, and you know what? I try not to drink from at least public toilets anyway.
Yeah, especially in the Wasteland.
Especially in the Wasteland. Yeah.
Those raiders.
The next one says, live in a shack. There are a few legit places to build a home in the Wasteland, but many more where you can set up a tidy little squat without the fear of your gear walking off. Perhaps the best, if not the most posh, is the isolated and unmarked sniper shack west of Rockbreaker's Last Gas. It's got a great view that will be in high in demand when civilization rebuilds. The only problem is that Talon Company mercs, or regulators if you're evil, might spawn right outside. Just think of it like living in the hood in old 21st century America. So that's great, and it's funny because there really is no indicator a lot of times of how many of the, you know, interiors or whatever, you know, won't hold your inventory because it has to be through the editor, it has to be flagged to not, you know, have your stuff disappear. So it's cool that that's one of the places that'll do it. I'll have to look for this place.
Yeah, I've seen that place, but I didn't know that you could actually keep your stuff there. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And this next one, it says, become a superhero. Galaxy News Radio warns that loonies are duking it out in Canterbury Commons. Indeed, strolling into town, you'll find the Ant Agonizer and the Mechanist locked in Mortal Kombat. The town wants you to solve the conflict, but you should want to nose into it for the great gear. With the Ant Agonizer's outfit, you can finally do the Wasteland version of Blind Melon's famous video. That's awesome. And by properly massaging the quest, you can also gain the Mechanist's special pistol, which is a stealthy player's best friend. Ooh, I didn't know that. That's in Canterbury Commons.
Yes. Yes.
I did get both of these through various characters. I had to get, you know, I had to go through and get both of them. That I love the Mechanist's suit because it's like this just giant, I don't know, like scrap metal just kind of put together. But the antagonizer suit, it is awesome. It is very superhero. I love it.
Well, and I love the picture there that they have next to this. And those of you, you obviously are not watching, like looking at this, but they have this picture of the character, main character, wearing a three-piece suit and this ridiculous ant head. So, perfect. The next one says, argue with the president and win. John Henry Eden, okay, spoiler alert, big time here, seems like a pretty domineering personality, but should you actually come to face whatever with him, you'll find that he's not quite a conversational giant. The Enclave President can be talked into his own doom. It's one of the game's most devoutly Twilight Zone-oriented moments and one of the best ways to put your hard-won speech skills to use. Now, this is interesting because I had the destruct code, so I did it that way, but now I'm going to try it with, because I'm curious about the dialogue now. I want to know what it is it makes it so Twilight Zone style.
You know, actually, now this is in Raven Rock, but I don't remember what I did. I think I might have – I don't remember having the code, so I might have actually done this. But, yeah, that's pretty late in the game too, so I'd hate to, you know, start another new character and just to get all the way to there.
Right.
But yeah, that really makes me wonder what I did. That's pretty bad. I'm losing my memory. All right, this next one says, catch raiders in their own trap. There's great pleasure to be had in spotting a hammer or a giant swinging spiked log before it hits you in the face, but there's much more fun in leading a dumb raider into his own clever trap. Head to the Bethesda Ruins, where in one office building, there's a great set of three rigged shotguns and a couple of grenade traps. Using those to wipe out some of the raiders lurking within the building is one of the game's more satisfyingly evil maneuvers. And this is in the Bethesda offices west. Actually, you know, these traps are all over the place. And there's some pretty good ones. Like it mentions here about the shotguns and the grenade traps. There are also, and this freaked me out the first time I saw it, there's like engines and like cow heads that are stuck up, you know, where you go through and you do a tripwire and it'll actually fall from a chain. It's like hanging from a chain. It'll hit you.
Yes.
And I have a perk that makes me not set off like mines and traps and stuff. So I usually avoid those kind of things. But when I have Fox with me, he sets all that stuff.
The next one says, get that pony you've always wanted. In the Fallout 3 loading screens, you've seen an ad for the life-size robot horse Giddyup Buttercup. In the deep corridors of an alien mothership, you'll at last be able to find several of the actual items and quite a few toy representations. Pay particular attention to the full-size one with glowing red eyes, which seems to be surrounded by dead test subjects. Is this an invasion in the making? And that's, of course, in Mothership Zeta, which I haven't seen yet. So this already I'm going to be watching for it.
Yeah, that's another one for our list, I guess. All right, this next one says, hotwire a healer. While roaming the alien Mothership Zeta, another Mothership Zeta one, you'll find glowing red arches that can heal wounds. Depending upon your skills, you may be able to rewire them to add a lot more health at the expense of longevity. Sadly, dreams of blowing up an alien with malfunctioning healthcare equipment never came to fruition. There's probably a metaphor for modern health plan politics in there, it says. But that's why you can also rewire some of the ship's communicators to act as proximity mines. Wow, that sounds pretty advanced.
I can't wait to try that.
I know.
And, of course, piggybacking that Mothership Zeta is another Mothership Zeta that says, yay, do your own abducting. It's one thing to float around in space seeing the work that aliens have done. It's quite another to man the anti-grav machine yourself. There's a shooting gallery within the ship from which you can cause humans and creatures to be beamed onto the ship where you can shoot away at leisure or just watch them off each other. The reward is the Xenotech Expert perk, which ups the damage caused by alien weapons. So wow. I'll be trying that one for sure.
Yeah, seriously. I'm a big fan of like the whole doing things from far away and watching what happens. I love to sit up on Tenpenny Tower and shoot down at, you know, like there's that guy who has the string of robots. Like a little,
yes. Yeah.
I love to sit up in Tenpenny Tower and shoot at them because then they kind of go nuts. And then, you know, of course you get bad karma from doing it, but, but I love doing that. I did that like as soon as I got up on that balcony, but this is right up my alley here. All right, this next one says, beat a Deathclaw at its own game. Deathclaws might be the most terrifying basic enemy in the game, especially if you stumble into a tunnel full of them. But they become a lot less frightening when you fight them with their own hand, a Deathclaw gauntlet. Oh, wait. A Deathclaw gauntlet is a great melee weapon. Even better if you've also built the dart gun, which will paralyze the legs of any target, eliminating its ability to move with deadly speed. Oh, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty good combination.
That is good.
I did make the Deathclaw Gauntlet, and because I'm such a melee fan, and it's another example, like we said, of how they've paid so much attention to the melee.
Yes, yes. I'll be going back and playing the melee game next. Maybe with the PS3. There we go. I can justify the insanity. There it is. This next one, okay, I love this next one because I totally saw this. It says, be Rube Goldberg for a day. Gold Ribbon Grocers, just west of the Jury Street Metro, has more than just food and drug products. Inside is a wild little Rube Goldberg sort of setup that uses boxes set up like dominoes and exploding gas line, among other things, to deliver a small arms payload to players adventure enough to step on a conspicuously marked pressure plate. So basically what happens is you walk into this little grocer and you notice that all the, you know, the boxes are set up like dominoes. And of course your first response is, well, that's cool. And of course walking in, you of course trigger the trap, which knocks over the boxes, which starts shooting. I won't spoil it for you, but let's just say that inadvertently in the end, you realize that your curiosity is what of course killed you.
Oh wow, that's cool. I never even saw that before.
Priceless. Really cool.
Actually, I don't even remember going to the Gold Ribbon Grocers.
Yeah, it's kind of tucked away. It's almost, oh heavens, it was a while back, so I can't remember exactly where it was, but I remember walking.
Well, it says here it's just west of the Jury Street Metro.
Right, which I think is kind of to the east a little bit. So
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, cool, just an absolute blast. No pun intended there.
Oh. Now, this next one is right up my alley. It's a sneak wearing only the best. One of the possible endings to the storyline in Oasis rewards players with the Maples garb. This looks like a hobo's dress coat, festooned as it is with sticks. But it has an ideal protection to weight ratio and can be repaired with loads of easily obtainable clothing. If you want something a little more beefy and sneaking isn't as huge a priority, bring 40 steel ingots to Everett in the pit to get the Metal Master armor, which also gets bonus points for being badass and metal. So the first one is in the Oasis, which is the basically the Maples garb. It looks like a burlap sack with sticks sticking out. So
that's really what it is.
And then the pit is where the other one is, where you get the Metal Master armor. I haven't gotten that. I got the other one, but I never got the Metal Master armor. That sounds pretty cool.
I'll have to check that out, dude. The next one says, stamp out a cult. After installing Broken Steel, you'll find that a home in Springvale has been infested by the Apostles of the Holy Light, a creepy if nice cult that is spreading irradiated water through the wasteland. Taking out a group means facing down the tough Adam's champion and the son of Adam's ghouls, but you'll feel much better. So I'll have to add that to the list when I go back to Springvale. That would be a riot.
Yeah, I remember that little cult. It's actually pretty cool. Pretty cool little area. All right, this next one says, study up on H.P. Lovecraft. The vile influence of Cthulhu and his minions reaches even into the wasteland. In the Dunwich building, you'll find a series of recordings that form a breadcrumb trail down to the basement, where an unholy and irradiated obelisk waits. The story seems to stall there, but hidden in Point Lookout is another part of the puzzle. There you can find the profane book. Oh, wow. I can't pronounce that.
It looks like the Krivbekni.
Yeah, the Krivbekni. Instead of destroying it, return it to its rightful place at the Dunwich Obelisk and despair. And this is in the...
and despair.
Yeah.
I have to try this. I absolutely freaked out when I read this.
Yeah, that's so obscure because it's like it says, you think that, you know, you file the trail and then you think it's done. But, and then in Point Lookout, they have another part to that. That's so cool.
Somebody knew what they were doing there. Somebody deliberately put everybody on hold because they knew they were going to add it later. Absolutely yeah. Priceless. I've got these, like, flashbacks of the game Alone in the Dark in my mind as we speak. Priceless. The next one says, do the Shady Sands Shuffle. It's fun to sneak up behind someone and shove a grenade in their pocket, sure, but it's a lot better to do so when the act has a name. On Galaxy News Radio, you might hear Herbert Daring Dashwood reminiscing about the Shady Sands Shuffle after he takes out a super mutant with a pocket grenade. We advise you to follow his lead. Often. So there you go. There's the Shady Sands. Oh, now there we go. Say that five times fast. The Shady Sands Shuffle. So I'm going to have to like go off and do that many times now. And maybe we can find alternate lyrics for that song. So,
all right, this next one says, use a Nuka Grenade. One of the rarest weapons in the game is the excessively powerful Nuka Grenade, which relies upon the rare glowing Nuka-Cola Quantum to create. You'll also need a schematic found in Cliffside Cavern on a trader who appears outside Megaton or in Girder Shade. But the benefits are worth the effort. Hundreds of points of damage, a blue fireball, and radiation after effects. For best results, combine this with the Shady Sands Shuffle action and get the hell away fast. Wow. I set one of these off, I use a cheat code to get it. So I didn't actually craft it. I didn't actually make it, you know, with getting the schematics and everything. But I had to get one with a cheat code just so that I could see it explode. Because I had to see that giant blue fireball. And it's definitely worth it. It's really cool.
And putting it in somebody's pocket, that I'll have to remember that. We'll call that the Quantum Sand Shuffle. Another alternate lyric song. There we go. The next one says, use an auto fuse. When you see a string of cars parked in a line, you should only think one thing, chain reaction. You won't get any specific XP or bonuses for killing an enemy by blowing up a series of stalled vehicles in front of it, but you'll get a lot of deep, fiery satisfaction. I do that all the time, especially when you're on like a freeway overpass looking down into like the trench where all the cars are, and there's a lot of feral ghouls down there. I'm like, I also did that on the bridge to the pit, which pretty much killed everything. So,
Oh, yeah,
including me. So there, yeah.
Did you see a couple episodes back? I put in the show notes the video of the day or video of the episode, and it was the biggest. It was called the biggest explosions of Fallout 3, and it was this guy who just recorded himself over and over again shooting a fat man at this one part where there were a lot of cars. I don't know how many cars. There were probably like half a dozen or so. And he did it from different angles. He did it at night. He did it at day. He did it she tried to see how far he could do it with it, you know, like how far back he could be. He did it like when he was right on the cars. I mean, he did it all these different ways. And it's just funny, like, that he did this for so long and put it all together in a video. But yeah, I linked that actually in a previous episode. And it just reminds me of this because it's a good way to pass time. All right, this next one says, grow karma with water. This is actually a really good tip here. Three water beggars can be found outside of three different settlements, Megaton, Rivet City, and Tenpenny Tower. If you give them water for a quick, or you can give them water for a quick plus 50 karma boost. And even better, Mickey, the guy outside of Megaton, will stick around and take all of the water you can give him. So if you need a quick boost to your morals, to your morale standing, just water it like a delicate flower. It says. That's a good tip actually, because I always wondered what those guys are doing out there. And then, you know, you give them water, and then it boosts your karma. But you can keep doing it, like it says, to Mickey, the guy outside of Megaton. So.
All right, we're down to the last two now.
Yeah.
All right, number two, it says, go to church. For mid-level players, spending a little time in one of two major chapels can produce some great results. The Dickerson Tabernacle Chapel, that was funny, Alice was reading the Dickerson Tabernacle Choir. The Dickerson Tabernacle Chapel is part of the unmarked High Plains Drifter quest and houses an unfriendly chap named Drifter armed with the Reservist's Rifle, a very useful sniper rifle variant. Easier to loot is the chapel in Calverton, which has some useful literature and a mini nuke. So there you go. The churches are more than just bombed out buildings.
Yeah, and this is in the Calverton one is that's in Calverton. And then there's one that's near the Deathclaw Sanctuary.
Right.
Is that? Let's see. The Deathclaw Sanctuary one, is that the one that's the Dickerson Tabernacle?
Yeah, that one is. I think that's the because Calverton is in the city.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay, so this last one
best
is, yes, they save the best for last, and it says, snag the Fire Lance. Perhaps the rarest item in Fallout 3 is the Fire Lance Blaster, a unique, more powerful version of the already quite powerful Alien Blaster. One time per character, you might see an explosion in the sky, from which will drop the Fire Lance and 24 alien power cells. Now, if you have dog meat, he can actually help you sniff it out, but the thing can land anywhere, including atop an inaccessible building. A high luck rating will help you be in the right place at the right time, but more than likely you'll just need lots of real-world luck. Or you might loot it off of a random raider that found it somewhere. You never know. Now that, see, we talked about this before. I actually found this, and I didn't realize it because I didn't hear the explosion, and I think I followed a trail of the alien power cells, and then I found the ship. And I found the Fire Lance, and it was amazing. But the thing is with this thing is it deteriorates really fast. You shoot it you know, you probably have a couple shots with it before it really starts deteriorating
right.
to the point where the damage isn't really worth it. And the, you know, the bad thing is, of course, that you only have one of these, so you can't really repair it. But did you find this at all?
You know, I didn't, but it's funny because I was talking with Rob when he was the one who first pointed this out to me. And somebody just went, ding, three. When we were talking about this, he remembered the moment in which he heard the explosion because, and I asked him, I said, well, you know, there's places in the game where you hear muffled explosions in the distance. Happens a lot. But he says, no. This one, you'll know it because you're going to hear something that sounds like a grenade going off next to your head. And if you're not watching, you won't see the explosion above you and you won't see the things fall. But he remembered the moment that he heard the explosion and he went back to a previous save game. And sure enough, there were all of the little power packs laying on the ground. And so he went and grabbed dog meat at the same time. And sure enough, dog meat sniffed it out. And there he was. He found the lance. And it was one of those things where, like they said, it happens once per character. And even though the stuff ends up, you know, pretty much staying on the ground, you never know who will pick it up. So if you already had it happen, you may have lost your chance unless you remember exactly where it was. But that kind of stuff just goes to show just how deep some of this stuff goes. I mean, to make a quest that goes off once per, you know, character, just amazing.
Yeah. That is, and you know, I don't know how they added this part about the raider that might have it. Is it, I wonder if that's true or if they're just, you know, trying to make a joke or something. Because if, now, how cool is that? If a raider, like if that happened and a raider actually found it and then you can get it off the raider. That's,
you know, that's a possibility though, because, and it just goes to, it all depends, and I don't know if we've ever had an official answer, but it all depends on how far they took the Radiant AI, because I remember, you know, those of you who've watched the behind the scenes for Oblivion, remember that one of the funniest things they did when they made the Radiant AI, it was almost too good. Like some guy went all crazy and started buying up all the armor because he needed it. And so you went there and there was no armor. And so stuff like that is a hoot, and so you wonder if that, you know, does it continue? Is there a situation where when you leave, you know, a sell in the game that somehow you know, AI can somehow randomly continue or something, and I believe that to be partially true because I have had things happen where I had something earlier in the game and then came back to through that part and then all of a sudden sure enough there was in that guy's inventory, and I don't know if that was a randomly generated thing or the fact that he really picked that up, but I'd like to think that it was that he picked it up.
Yeah, wow, that adds so much more.
Priceless.
That's really cool. Well, now that we've reached the end of this list here, let's go ahead and add our own that haven't been listed here. So what would you say you would add to this list?
Okay, the one I would add to this list, and some of you guys may have already heard this, but it's something that is so priceless. If you listen to Galaxy News Radio, you're going to hear this radio drama that comes on, and it's called the guy said it's a radio show about a guy named Herbert the Daring Dashwood and his lovely manservant Argyle, who's this ghoul manservant. And if you listen to the show, basically what he does is show up to get the girl and Argyle does all the work. And if you go to Tenpenny Tower, you meet this man who claims to be Herbert Dashwood, retired, and he is. Now the joke of this is, if that's true, then where's Argyle? And if you do some searching, and I don't even think I could tell you where it is, there's a place where if you look under a rock, you find what's left of Argyle. And I'll leave you up to you guys to see if you can figure this out. But it's one of those things, and this just goes like this, and this kind of is like my final thought for the show, is basically that these guys have done more than just create quests. They painstakingly created things they know full well you may never even see. And it just goes to show how good these guys are that they would do that. Like, for example, there was one that Rob liked to tell me about, what he said is that he was walking down through this one part of the city, and he was up by these power lines, and he saw this chair where the skeleton was sitting there. And he walks up, and of course, that's the interesting thing about this, and it kind of goes back to the forks and knives. If you're seeing something in the game that looks like it's not quite right, chances are somebody had a reason for putting it there. And so he knew that. So he was walking up to this chair, and what he saw is this skeleton and there's the BB gun and BBs next to it, and the guy's head was tilted up, the skull was tilted up. And so Rob was like, what? And then he looked up, and sure enough, at the very top of these, hanging from these wires, if you looked really close, was these bottles of Nuka-Cola Quantum that the guy apparently was trying to shoot at, and he died. And so, of course, what's your first reaction? Get the gun, the BBs, and shoot the Nuka-Cola Quantum down. And sure enough, it works.
Wow, that's cool.
And it just goes to show you, you know, and it kind of goes back to that Rube Goldberg thing, you know, that there are tons of inside jokes in this game. If you just look at the details, you, you know, you walk past something in a room, pay close attention because there might be more to it than it looks like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sometimes that stuff is overwhelming to me. I'm like, I don't, like, I want to put blinders on and then maybe go back later and try to find all the little tidbits here and there. But
the Oblivion Syndrome, I understand completely.
Yes. The Oblivious Syndrome.
Yeah, the Oblivious Syndrome, that's true.
Well, for me, there was one thing that came to mind immediately when I read this, and I actually, before I even finished the list, I had to search through and see if it was included, and it wasn't, so I'm happy to add it here at the end. But there's a quest called Agatha's Song, and I don't know if you did this quest. This is in the original Fallout 3. It's not in a DLC, but you find this house out in the middle of the wasteland.
Sorry, I'm already laughing. Go, no, keep going.
There's this lady named Agatha. She's an old lady, and she plays a violin, or she wants to play a violin. And what you have to do is you have to find her a violin in good shape. Now, what's funny is I actually found the violin before I found her. So, it you know, and I don't think I grabbed it at first, and then I was like, oh, I need to go back and get that violin because now I know what it's for. You give her this violin, and she's very thankful. And to kind of repay you, it opens up a new radio station on your it's all part of the quest, which gets more involved. But it opens up a new radio station on your Pip-Boy where you can listen to her playing violin, and it's kind of a cool little alternative to, you know, maybe Galaxy News Radio or whatever else you've opened up, and you can actually listen to her playing, and then she'll come in and she'll talk a little bit, not as much as Three Dog, but she'll talk a little bit between songs. I think it's a really cool little. If you're more into classical music, you know, just listening to this while you're playing. But I was surprised it wasn't on here because I think it's a pretty cool little it's almost like a hidden side quest.
Yes,
it's a pretty cool little quest.
Very good addition there. Yeah, and it's funny too because, like, especially when she starts like playing, it's like green green green. You're like and you like when I go flip the channel because she's like she starts doing this like almost like off key play. And it's just like whoa. But it's so funny that they would add something like that, and they know full well that you may never see it. I mean, even like, you know, you guys have probably picked up like a radio signal out in the middle of nowhere, and you hear this like, dee, 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 and it's like an SOS or something. But if you look really close, 99% of the time, there's somebody sending it, and you get out there, like you might find an empty, you know, survivalist vault where the guy's long dead, but the little loop tape is still playing. And I love that they do that, that there's no randomness all the time, you know, like there is with a lot of games. These guys put heart and soul into every single quest, and I think that is really why when you hear Game of the Year, why when people, you know, I haven't heard anybody scoff at that, but what if anybody ever did, I would probably need to be defensive and go, okay, find me somebody with the exception of BioWare who put that much thought into every single quest that they did. I don't think you'll find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, with this thing, I mean, I think it's a perfect example because I don't know if these songs were pre-existing songs, or if they were written just for this quest. But let's say they were written just for this quest. You know, they wrote these songs, they recorded them, they got all this together, and they made a quest line out of it. They opened up another station on your Pip-Boy for radio. They did all this stuff, and like you said, you could play the whole game and never even find it. You know, it's really cool.
It gives the replayability justification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely does.
Well, cool. I think that's I think that'll probably wrap up the show. So my only thing I would say is if you enjoyed listening to this list, you know, we'll put a link to this Crispy Gamer list in the show notes, and check it out. You know, try out a few of these if you've played through Fallout 3, maybe you've beat it a few times or whatever. And I would guarantee that there's at least one thing on here that, you know, all of you have not found yet or reached.
Absolutely.
So I would say try it out. If there's something you haven't found yet, try it out. Definitely.
And by all means, let us know, you know, and if assuming the forums aren't up, you know, email us. Let us know if you guys have some to add to that list, and maybe we could, you know, read one or two at each episode. I'd be love and for any other reason than the fact that we'd love to hear what kind of things you guys have found, because there's no way that we could ever say we've seen it all.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode. If you want to email us, you can send us an email at show@throughtheaftermath.com. We already have quite a few built up already for our next email show, which should be coming up pretty soon for the next month. If you want to check us out on Twitter, it's Aftermath Show. It's the @ and Aftermath Show. And you can check us out there, which I haven't been using as much lately, but it's usually a pretty good place to get the latest news that I'll throw up on there. Plus, there's we have a Facebook group. You can find us over at Virgin Worlds, where we are part of the Virgin Worlds Collective. And I think that's about it. So until next time, this is Sean.
And Jonathan saying, stay alive out there and do the Shady Sand Shuffle. Well, that officially makes my frack up even a bigger frack up. There we go.